And good afternoon. Welcome back to your extended news at noon. Tracy Morgan in with you. And yes, we are continuing with our conversations with the many school districts that we have, the many great school districts that we have here in Butler County. And today is our day with Carnes City School District. Dr. Eric Ritzert is on the phone with me. Dr. Ritzert, thank you very much for joining me. I appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Tracy, to talk to the community.
And so we have gone through a full week of schools. We still have some schools to talk to next week. A lot of our topics will be similar, but some folks are listening right now because Carnes City is their school district. So we're going to go through the different aspects of masks and cases and temperatures. And so we'll talk about all of that. But the first thing I want to ask you is, what's on your heart about this as just a human being? I know you're the superintendent and you have a great role there in Carnes City for the school district, but with all opinions put aside, what would you like to relay to parents and families in your district?
I think what I'd like the parents and the families to know is that we take the seriousness of the safety of your children here at our school very seriously. And your students or your children will take their lead from you as their moms and dads. And so anything you can do to reassure them and make them aware of, it's going to be okay. That students are resilient, or the children are resilient, and they just need to be reassured. We're going to take additional precautions here at the school level, and throughout this interview I'll share some of those specifics. But I would say, talk to your children and, say some prayers. It's a good thing to have faith when you're dealing with challenges like this.
I always say never say you've seen it all, because the moment you say that phrase, boy, you run into an interesting situation, and nobody's ever seen this.
No, I've never once thought that we'd be dealing with anything that would impact the school system and the community as much as this virus has. And regardless of your individual feelings towards how governments, whether it's a state level or national level or even local levels, have reacted to the problems that have been linked to the COVID-19, it is something as society we have to work together and find a common way to combat it and apply common sense with how we address our decisions.
Because we want to have a school year where we do have the musicals at the end of the year and the proms and graduations. And so to be in this together and be able to get through the school year, I think, is important.
I do agree, and as we finished out this previous school year, we were faced with, well, what would graduation look like, and would there be a prom? I'm happy to report that we applied what we thought was appropriate protocols and applied safety to our decisions, but we held an outdoor graduation ceremony where parents and the graduates met at one of our elementary buildings, and were led by our community fire departments from the elementary to the high school complex. They parked outdoors in their cars. We had an external stage. The graduates were set up externally, more than 6 feet apart, social distance, and we were able to recognize the class of 2020 outdoors. Now, we are a smaller school district, so it made it a little easier to pull that off, and we did have a prom ceremony as well, and again held it outdoors for our participants that wish to attend. So we want to have as much of normalcy as we can within our school system and continue forward.
Now, you this week had a high school open house. How did it go? What was the reaction of students and parents? Was there any difference in their reaction as to a normal school year?
It was different. We did our secondary open house for seventh graders. It was primarily virtual. So what we did was a tour of the inside of the building and recorded segments from teachers to explain what the first day of seventh grade would be like as students transitioned from our elementaries. We did do some individual tours for families that requested that, and again, we did that with appropriate social distancing and walked families through the buildings with their children. And at the elementary, we're going to do an in-person kindergarten orientation That is something that the teachers and the families of kindergartners really requested and wanted, and we're going to abide by the small groups and set the schedule so that one teacher can do their tour, and then those students and families leave, and then the next classroom can do their tour. So, again, we're trying to balance what the families in our community want and desire for their students so that we can continue on.
When is the first day of school, by the way?
Our first day of school for students is September 2nd. It was originally scheduled for August 26th, but we delayed it 1 week. And we did that predominantly to add some additional training days at the front end of our schedule for our teachers. So our teachers will report back to work Friday.
21st. Mm-hmm.
That'll be the first teacher day, so we'll have an opportunity to meet with the staff then. And we're going to spend the 24th through the 28th on Act 80 days where we do professional development with the teachers. And the focus of that's going to be on how to deal with the changes within the school system for the students that are here in person, and also how do we teach and learn to provide online instruction better and more robustly for the students that may select that option to start the school year. So we're looking forward with the opportunity of working with our staff here next week.
So the same question has been offered to the school districts we have talked to thus far about your opinion on the COVID cases in the way of if you start to see them, when you start to see them, what is your contingency plan? Do you keep the school open? At what point do you continue with remote learning? What's the plan that you have in place at this point?
Well, we're going to take our lead from looking at what the state has provided. Here recently, they've shared with school districts sort of a countywide approach, and in that sense been clarified down to like a school level. So we'll be looking at the numbers of cases, whether they're staff or students within a building. We'll work with the healthcare providers and professionals from the Butler Health Services to help guide us in some of those decisions, as well as the Pennsylvania Department of Health. If there would be just one case, obviously we'd want to look at working with the Department of Health and contact tracing and making a decision as to what protocols need to be implemented. Hopefully that if it's just one case per building or a report of a suspected case, we would look at enhanced cleaning methods. We did invest in purchasing handheld sprayers and misters that we can spray disinfectants within a classroom that's EPA-approved materials that are able to combat the virus. So we're going to take all the necessary protocols to try to keep the school open. And so unless there's clusters reported, we would do our best to continue operating.
And speaking of the reporting, again, another note that I find that needs to be repeated. It is my understanding that it is the Department of Health that would need to tell you if there is a case. If they don't tell you that there's a case, you wouldn't know that you had a case. Is that correct?
That is correct. The Department of Health gets the information directly from the medical providers. So when somebody would be tested for COVID-19 and say they're tested positive, that information, my understanding, is reported directly to the Pennsylvania Department of Health. They then implement some contact tracing, and if it goes back to like the school system here at Carn City, they would give us a call to make us aware. That's how the information is supposed to flow to the school districts. There is a chance that the individual who tests positive might share that information with the school system, but they're not obligated to do so. And even if they would share, their information and identity needs to be kept confidential. It would only be utilized to make decisions on what protocols we need to implement.
So how do you communicate with your parents in the community if the information is meant to be confidential? And I understand your point in making that, but then also making the public aware or the community aware that there may be a case, couple cases, whatever it is that you may possibly see in the future.
I believe that we have a moral and ethical obligation to quickly notify the parents and the community of any suspected or confirmed cases. We would protect the identities of who might be involved, but we would communicate much like we would with our weather delays or closures. We would probably put out an alert call and definitely put information out to those parents that would need to know so that they're aware.
Your focus is education, although the health of students is important to you, but you are not testing for COVID-19 on site. Is that correct?
That is correct. Not only are we not doing that, we really don't have a way to do that. So the testing would all need to be done through appropriate medical providers and testing facilities.
Are you taking temperatures, or what is your plan for temperature taking?
We are currently not planning to take temperatures of staff and students here on site. We did purchase approximately 30 contactless thermometers because initially that was one of the things that we were considering. What we're asking our staff and our students and families to do is to self-check at home. So like the staff on a daily basis has been given a set of protocols to answer the questions themselves. And it is on the honor system. And obviously, if somebody's not feeling well, we want them to stay home if it's suspected it could be related to COVID-19. And the same way with students. We're going to ask the families before sending their children to school to interface with them and check them. Now, when they arrive at the school system, we don't intend currently to check their temperatures when they come through the doors, but we will be monitoring students, and if we see any unusual behavior or they don't look like they're feeling well, we'll refer them to our school nurses, and they will then go through a set of additional checks.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Dr. Eric Ritzert with Karnes City School District as we continue our conversations with the school districts. This will go into next week as we have a couple of school districts left to talk with, of course, the school districts in Butler County. And Dr. Ritzert, when you're talking Karnes City, what are the unique challenges to your district when it comes to COVID-19 and this pandemic? I understand that the schools have been talking to each other. You all have been meeting, of course, the health system a part of that, and doctors and the state. Given that, with the different discussions that you've had, were there topics that came up that you thought, wow, I never thought of that for Karnes City? Or were there issues that were just unique to Karnes City that you had to figure out a plan for?
I think although we're one of the smaller districts in Butler County, a lot of the same things every school district's facing with this situation is similar. Probably the biggest difference in our area here is that because we're small and it's rural and spread out, the population density isn't quite like it would be in some areas. So the feelings towards the social distancing isn't quite as significant here as it is towards people that live closer together. That being said, that's a key thing to keeping the virus at bay within the school system, and we definitely are practicing it. So I think is getting the students that attend here and the community aware that regardless of what you personally believe with wearing a mask or social distancing, that is a key critical component to enabling the school to operate in-person instruction. So we need people to set aside personal beliefs and do their best to comply so we can keep everyone safe.
Are you able to get outside, especially while you still have the weather on your side?
We are, and we're going to utilize outdoor spaces as much as possible, particularly when the weather is cooperative, because quite honestly, we want students to be up moving around. The last thing we want is people to think that with the restrictions that may be in place that this has become institutional. We want the students to be able to go home and say, I like being here, and I feel safe being here. So we want to utilize our outdoor facilities as much as possible.
It might be a positive aspect to going to school if a student isn't used to going outside and now class gets to go outside. You know, I think that's kind of fun to be able to put a positive spin on a situation that was unexpected.
Well, it is. And I think that although our primary focus is on academics and learning, the other important pieces of school is the socialization component. And it's hard to really know how the students of interphase throughout the summer months because of some of the restrictions that have been placed in the communities. So we're looking to be able to provide them with the opportunity for some level of socialization, but in a safe and constructive manner.
Can I get your thought on masks? Of course, this week there was an adjustment there with the administration of the state saying that now kids have to wear masks all day. You can get mask breaks. I am assuming you're going to follow all of that, but your comments, your thoughts on the masks and or shields that you'll be having.
We are going to follow the guidance to the best of our abilities. Obviously, people have their own personal beliefs on whether or not it's effective. I rely on the healthcare providers, and the ones that we've interfaced with do recommend it. So as a school system, we did put out information this week alerting parents of the updated guidance from the state. And we will provide masks here at school for students that may not have them or forgot them. We have a variety of the disposable paper ones to looking at some cloth ones that are KC logoed to try to embed a sense of pride in wearing the mask. And we do have face shields. So we respect that some students may not be able to or want to wear a mask, but maybe the face shield would be an alternative for them, and we gladly provide that.
Let's talk about your budget for just a moment. How is your budget doing through all of this? Do you anticipate any shortfalls as you go throughout the next many months?
Well, from a budgeting standpoint, what it's done is it's reprioritized some of the areas we were looking to spend money on. And we've invested quite a bit on safety protocols. Like I said, we purchased handheld misters that will allow custodians to go through even midday when room areas become available. We can sanitize those areas so that they can be reutilized and minimize any spreading of germs, to employing additional custodians on the daylight shift that we didn't have that were normally on the afternoon, moving them up to allow additional cleaning. We have hand sanitizers throughout all of our buildings that are foot activated, so the students won't need to touch the pump mechanism. They can just use their foot to get a dose of the hand sanitizer for washing of hands. And we're going to be focused on that as well as the social distancing within our buildings. So we've spent quite a bit of money on those items. We did invest in technology. In March, we were not one-to-one. We didn't have the devices to give every student their own Chromebook. We did, the early part of the summer, purchase enough Chromebooks so that we can provide all our students, kindergarten through 12th grade, their own Chromebook this year, so that if we would have to go to an online or remote learning, we have the ability to give every individual student their own device. So we're in a little better position now, based on the areas we chose to spend money on, than we were in March.
If I could ask a question about a budget for a smaller school district, you're not here to speak for all the school districts. I understand that. You're here for Carn City. But when you are a smaller school district, does that affect your budget more because you're having to spend money on items that were unexpected versus being a larger school district, whether we're talking in Butler or Seneca Valley, you know, the larger school districts? Or is the expenditures relative to a school size because they have more teachers, more space, they would need more technology? How does that affect a smaller school district like yours?
It's a very good question, and to answer that, I'm going to say it's a little bit of both. It is somewhat scalable because of the number of students and staff. So on that aspect, our total expenditures in some of those areas would be less. But on the other side, because we are small and rural and socioeconomically probably different than Seneca Valley and Mars, it can have a more significant effect. So what we looked at is with our COVID-19 grant money that we received from the state and federal government, we did utilize those funds to purchase our additional Chromebooks, our cleaning supplies that are above and beyond the normal purchases. So we made good use of those funds. But to put it in perspective, We did not raise property tax this year, and I think that was the right decision based on what the community was faced in their own households. If we would have raised taxes to the index here in Carson City, that would only generate approximately $225,000 of additional revenue. The Chromebooks themselves cost us approximately $100,000, the additional ones we needed to make sure we had 100% devices for all students. So, you know, raising revenue here doesn't get you what it would in some of the larger school districts. So what I would say is the margin of error in making decisions is a lot less in a small district. So you have to make sure that what you are doing is truly aligned with the priorities and the vision of the school district. Otherwise, you won't have the funds to do it.
The grant money that you received, has that been used up? And I ask that because as we go through the year, will you have any unanticipated expenditures that now you have to find money for?
We utilized our money. We've booked expenditures against it. So we have spent the grant money in setting things up and getting prepared for the school year. But we did, prior to passing our budget, put in what we would call a contingency fund for additional unforeseen expenditures. What that would require for us to draw upon that is making the board aware, and they'd have to pass the resolution approving spending the money out of a contingency fund. But we did set aside money there for those unforeseen expenditures that very well could surface this school year.
Dr. Eric Richard with us, Carson City School District. I do appreciate your time, and I know I've kept you over the time I promised, and I do appreciate that. Let me ask you about your staffing, and then I'll let you go. I think the teachers need to have a round of applause for what they had to go through, as well as you as the superintendent and the administrators. This has been a very difficult situation you all had to go through, but you made it work in the spring. I know you're determined to make this work as we go into this school year. So talk about your teachers, if you would. I know some teachers have, they're very legitimate concerns about coming back to a classroom, and some teachers are making sure they get back. So how have you been working with your teachers? What are your teachers' concerns in Carson City?
Well, absolutely, and I'd like to say I'm very blessed to work in a school system as such as Carson City, where the staff is much like a family, and because of that, we all kind of know each other extremely well, and I think the staff's comfortable expressing not only their concerns but their ideas, and we generally ask the staff, you know, when you bring up a concern or a problem, that is fair and it's appreciated, but also if you have an idea or a solution to that concern or problem, we're all ears, because quite honestly, this is an example of a problem where everyone's opinion is valuable. Some people see things that others don't, and that willingness to share is helpful. As far as the staff, most of ours have indicated they're excited to return. There are a few that have expressed, due to underlying conditions, some concerns, and we've worked with them on an individual basis to address those individual concerns, and we would continue to do so. So I think here it's really a team effort, and we're excited about that opportunity to engage the staff here in the coming week and help address any additional concerns before the students arrive.
Have you talked about any plans of how do you get, not around the masks and wearing them, of course you're going to have to wear the masks, but how do you get around the nonverbal communication that you're missing a bit, you know, when you're not seeing the smiles or not seeing a stoic face? Teachers, are they being creative in how to reach the students?
Well, they are, and we're going to try to get a hold of some of the masks that actually have the clear vise area for your mouth so that you can be seen if you're smiling, because that is a key component. You don't want the students to feel that this is any more unusual than it already will be. So we want that empathy to be shown so that they know that we care about them, and also to be able to help with the instruction. So we do intend to use those types of masks for some staff, and also the possibility of visors in place of the masks if we can social distance.
I'll have to get back in touch with you and see how they work. I even myself wanted to look into one of those because I think we're missing the smiles from each other. Even if you just want to say, hi, how you doing? You miss that smile.
Well, you're exactly right, because I know with a limited amount of adults who have been in the workplace and we've been wearing masks, it is something that we become used to. But when you are talking with somebody, you lose that effect to know, by how they're speaking or looking, how they're processing what you're saying. So that is an important thing and something that we're going to have to acknowledge. And hopefully at some point in time, the virus either is under control or medically is being able to be treated so that we can resume some level of normalcy in all of our lives.
Dr. Ritzer, before I do let you go, any final thoughts that you would like to leave with us before you do start school?
Well, I'd ask all of the folks out there listening to, have an element of, flexibility this year. We're going to do our very best, as well as I'm sure other school districts will. If you have ideas or you have concerns, please feel free to share. But we're not going to do anything knowingly that would put your children or our employees in harm's way. But it is our desire and hope to reopen, and we're going to do our level best to do that safely. And, if you're religious out there, please say a prayer. That would be much appreciated.
Dr. Eric Ritzert, Carnes City School District, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.